Today's program was brought to you by Mood Magazine, a new international quarterly publication about music and food. For more information, visit moodmusicfood.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music. With musical dudes. Finger on the pulse. Snacky tunes.
Okay, got to get that last beat in.
You got to get the last one.
You don't want to accidentally talk over that. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
It's snowing.
It is snowing.
It is. Here we go. December. Snowing.
December. I'm one half your host, Greg Bresnitz.
I'm the other half, Darren Bresnitz, and you have a very rare opportunity to listen to both of us on Snacky Tunes, which I feel is...
Well, we did last week, but that wasn't like a full episode. By the way, congratulations to the guys from Tall Day. They raised over $20,000.
Yeah, Taste for the Philippines. Thank you to everyone who came out. It was a really amazing time. A lot of good cause, a lot of great...
Really good food.
Really good food.
Favorite was B-Ray from Budokan.
Oh, my God. Shout out to B-Ray, and shout out to our flyers who are still below 500. Cannot break through.
No, I can't. We got a pack... I feel like now that since we moved to Sunday, we're just like, yeah, pack it in. Like, before, it used to be like, we were very just like, we had 60
minutes. We were very economical.
Yeah.
Now it's
like, who's ever in town, like, we got to have them on.
I'm excited for the shows when the summer returns. Because
maybe it gets kind of hot in here.
I know, but like by the time our show happens at 4:30, it's already nighttime.
Right.
Oh yeah, that's true. Shout out to mom and dad for making again awesome Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and they're listening live. So that was just Cassandra Jenkins, who will be joined by two other people. Two other people live later on in studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And we have Red Boat Fish Sauce, who are in town for our dinner, and they're
Rob Newton from Night Gun 9 and Paul Key from Key.
It's a packed show.
But first and foremost,
yeah. It's been a while since I've actually been on the air, so I got to get the patter back. We have Anne-Marie and Ahern. Did I get that right?
Anne-Marie Ahern, yeah.
Yes. Saltwater Farm from Maine, who we met in October when our good friend and your best friend, Joey Chow, got married. And probably one of the best weddings that I
will
ever be to. Fun fact, if you have your wedding on a Friday, you get to have a second party on a Saturday.
It was a good plan.
It was a good move.
Yeah.
But we were fortunate enough to meet Anne-Marie and her family, and lo and behold, found out they have amazing restaurant, amazing farm, and pretty much just kind of dominated the food conversations that we had all weekend. So if you ever were to escape Maine and come down here, please come on the show, and here you are.
Here I am.
And you just got in today, right?
I just got in today. Yeah, it's nice to be back in New York.
So what is a Maine winter like, and what is Maine life like for like a relatively young, mm-hmm. I mean, you're our age, so like what's it like being a young kid there?
Well, I moved from New York to Maine about 7 years ago, and I didn't really know what Maine held for me in the whole year round. I was 20, let's see, I moved in 2009, I was 27, I think.
Okay.
So maybe 5 years ago I moved to Maine. But I didn't really know anyone there. So it was sort of a bold move, but I knew that I was done with New York and I wanted to live in the country. And I wanted to learn about farming and open a cooking school, which I did back in 2009, called also Saltwater Farm. And I found some pretty incredible people there. I have a very full life there. In those first few years, there were definitely like cold winters where it was me, my dogs, and the sound of the coyotes, and I was like, what the hell did I just do?
Was your family already up there, or did they come join you?
They were up there on and off, yeah, okay. But when I moved up there, I was living on the farm in a barn by myself for at least 2 years.
Was it warm?
Most of the time, it was warm, yeah, but...
And so were you already cooking in New York before you went up there?
I was. I worked in various parts of the food industry. I was a personal chef for many years, and I worked for Tom Colicchio. I was his personal assistant for a year.
Personal assistant's not cooking, though.
No, not okay. at all. You learn how to deal with chefs, which turns out to be a very important part of my current job.
Yeah. I watched you when you were in... When we came in at brunch, and you had a very solid command of your room.
Oh, well, thank you.
Which was, like, very apparent.
Can you tell us one story from the Tom Click?
Working with Tom? Yeah, I can. He was on the set of Martha Stewart one morning, and I get a text message at, like, 6 o'clock telling me that he needed his blue shirt. And the building was locked and closed, and I didn't have my contacts in. I still had my pajamas on. I hailed a cab blind. Went to his office, somehow convinced a man with a key to let me in the building, and then took the shirt to Martha Stewart's set, and it was like passed through a line of people, and they all had little headsets on. They were like, she has the shirt. And I was like, I can't believe this is my job. I can't believe this is actually happening.
Did you go back to bed?
Yeah, oh, totally.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So, I mean, so you left, you went up there, and did you immediately find place to cook up there, or you know, what was the backdrop?
Sure. My family purchased a piece of land in 1999, which is by definition a saltwater farm. It's an old sheep farm on the ocean it's in Lincolnville, Maine. And we built a barn and outfitted it with a pretty sweet kitchen. And I teach cooking classes out of that kitchen and learned about farming pretty quickly.
Did your family have a farming background?
Not at all. We were in the restaurant business.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah.
Which restaurant?
My grandfather owned a restaurant in the theater district in Manhattan called Diavolo Russo in the like 40s, 50s.
What type of? I mean, I can guess.
Italian.
Yeah. No, I was going to, you know. But is it like checkered tablecloth, like very like bow tie, or was it?
I think it was kind of an institution that they have an autograph book with like Frank Sinatra, no Marilyn way. Monroe, yeah, Babe Ruth, pretty cool. And they had their special was lobster diavolo.
It wasn't created there, was it?
No, I don't think so.
What is that?
It's like a spicy lobster dish, fra diavolo. It's pretty. They split it in half,
and it's like served like in a pan. It's really, it's a showpiece.
It's totally a showpiece. You know what? We should put it on the menu at the restaurant in Maine. I can't believe I'm just thinking about that.
Oh, you should do some throwback.
Wait, is Maine known for lobsters?
It is.
I did not know that.
Big surprise. Yeah. Actually, Darren and I are... Well, Darren recently thinks he might not be allergic to lobster.
Yeah,
but
there's a new twist where I accidentally had like a bunch of lobster tacos, and then at the end of the night asked what was in those tacos, and I said lobster, and obviously I'm here, so...
But it's no joke. It's literally like every other place like offers lobster.
The best part about Joey's wedding was when Greg was standing next to one of Joey's friends who didn't know how to open a lobster, and it exploded and covered Greg in lobster juice.
Yeah.
And once he was okay, I laughed in his face. I had a very long time.
So for the cooking school, like, what type of, what did you start teaching? Or what do you, and you still do the classes now, right?
Yeah, I still do the classes now. We teach two different kinds of classes. One is a workshop class. It's a 3-day class where we focus on fundamental cooking skills and gardening skills. And then the other classes are specialized, and they range from savory pies to cooking over fire to we have one called cobblers, buckles, and grunts, which are New England terms for pie, essentially.
What's a grunt pie?
A grunt is like a slump, actually, which you also don't know what that means.
Yeah. Oh, it's like that other thing you've never heard of.
But it's basically just a combination of butter, flour, sugar, and fruit.
And the people who attend the classes, is it locals or do people travel for it?
The first year that we taught the classes, it was mostly locals because it's all word of mouth. Mm-hmm. But now it's mostly people like you guys. It's people from New York and California.
What do you mean by you people?
You people. It's like, seriously, it's exciting because people fly to Maine just to take a 3-day class, which when I opened the school, I had no idea that we would arrive there. So
The main event when people come?
We did the main event for the first 3 years, which was with a bunch of chefs from Brooklyn, and we're no longer doing that.
I know.
They've gone on to do other things.
But so have you.
But so have I. Yes. I opened a restaurant myself, and we have a lot of guest chefs that come and teach, which is always fun.
And who are some of the, you know, the guest chefs, and how do you pick them?
Oh, it's just, you know, life circumstance. Two of them are these lovely women from Tuscany, Mima and Franca. They are siblings, like the two of you. And they are 78 and 75, and amazing. They are hilarious.
They fly over?
They fly over, yeah.
Oh, they don't take us.
Wait, how did life circumstance lead you to
My
them?
Mother went to Tuscany, took a cooking class with them, and then they came to me.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the restaurant, because it's probably one of the most beautiful restaurants I've ever been in.
I think so, too.
Yeah. No, but you know what, though? Once you go there, you can totally say that and not sound braggadocious in any way. Like, it's stunning.
Thank you.
And the view is amazing.
Yeah.
Right on the harbor.
Mm-hmm. And so what's the history of the building?
Yeah, the building's crazy, right?
Union Hall, it was built in 1856. It used to be the post office. It was a lime factory many years ago. And
a lime factory?
Yeah, like a lime kiln. They would heat up lime.
Never mind.
Not like the green fruit.
I was like, they grew limes in Maine?
No.
I don't know anything.
But anyway, so it was then, in the 70s, it was home to the Maine Media Workshops, which is a film and photography school, and then it was totally run down, and they restored it to put in our restaurant.
Yeah, but you are glazing over that restoration process. From what you told us, it was quite the effort.
Yeah, it was a huge effort. The building, I mean, the back wall was no longer attached to the rest of the building.
I don't
when
understand
we started
how
it.
That even happened.
I don't either. And people were still occupying it. But anyways, yes, we built a beautiful restaurant. We traveled all over the world looking at other restaurants in the country and put together pieces in our minds and then designed a wonderful space.
Number one inspiration?
I'm going to have to say Sitka and Spruce in Seattle.
Okay.
A friend of mine owns that place, and when I went out there, he also owns a farm on Vashon Island off the coast, and a number of other restaurants in Seattle that are outstanding. The Corson building, he just opened another one called Bar Seor. His name's Matt Dillon, but he was in large part an inspiration to me.
I mean, it's a very specific, I mean, you almost want to say like Brooklyn-style type of restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, how was it received up there, and you know, what was the reaction?
Well, it was a pretty bold move to try to create a concept that's so progressive in a place where the population is, I think, 1,800 people live in Rockport.
Wow.
And most of them are over the age of 65. So I honestly, you know, we had no idea if it was going to work or not. And it's been tough, without a doubt, but we are being recognized by exactly, you know, the people we were hoping would recognize what we're doing. The staff is almost entirely from Brooklyn and San Francisco and Chicago.
And do they live there now?
They all moved to Maine to be part of the project, which is pretty exciting. And they were as nervous when they moved as I was when I moved. But we have like a whole, you know, community up there now, and they just sort of became part of that, so
and,
it worked out.
And how were you able to get those people out there? How did they hear about the project?
They heard about the project through goodfoodjobs.com, most of them, and I insisted that they come in February for the Toboggan Festival to see what it's like in Maine in the winter before they signed on to the project.
Right, because summers in Maine are gorgeous.
Gorgeous. They're heaven, literally. So but winters are long.
Like the worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario.
And I'm sorry, Toboggan Festival?
Oh, it's so fun. You guys should totally come. There's lots of ice fishing.
Okay.
And everyone shoots down this like toboggan chute in February onto a frozen lake where there's lots of food and drinking. It's
Greg,
just so much fun.
Let's go.
And people from all over the country come. It's very
Is it beginning,
fun.
Middle, end of February?
It's the second weekend of February. It's so, I'm serious. You should totally go. It's so fun.
I guess the other question is like, just to kind of get people thinking, you get to the border of Maine and then you're like 2.5 hours past that. So how did beyond word of mouth, how did people start hearing about the restaurant? How did the press start to generate about, you know, the spot?
Yeah. Well, when we did the main event, which was 5 days after we opened the cooking school, the New York Times picked it up because of the names that were attached to it.
And good old Times.
Yeah. And then, you know, the Wall Street Journal took notice, and Boston Globe and Food and Wine and all these publications noticed what we were doing. I think, honestly, there's not that many examples or models for what we're doing, which is essentially a recreational cooking school. They're very common in Europe, but in the United States, there's only maybe a dozen of them that are like the one that we have.
And can you define recreational cooking school?
Yeah, it's a place you go and cook and eat with strangers and have fun.
And you stay there.
What?
You stay there?
You don't stay with us, but there's so many places to stay in the area. So.
A couple of B&Bs up in Maine.
There's a ton of B&Bs. Yeah.
B&B is B&B. It's like lobster shop, B&B, lobster shop, B&B. Like
craft.
Craft.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
So, I mean, so like what comes next?
We're trying to get the restaurant on solid footing. We're 8 months in. We have to get through a winter still, but it's feeling really good and being quite well received by both locals and people who come to visit. I want to write a cookbook. I've been thinking about it for many years. I just haven't had a moment to sit down and do it. And I want to build the cooking school program because I think that we could teach more classes and get more people involved in the workshop program in particular. So I love teaching, and they love learning. So.
Amazing. Well, we give people the nuts and bolts where they can find the restaurant and how they can sign up for classes.
Sure. So Saltwater Farm's website is www.saltwaterfarm.com. The cooking school is in Lincolnville. We run classes from June through October. And the restaurant is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 9 months out of the year. And then we just do breakfast and lunch in January, February, and March. And that is in Rockport Harbor, overlooking one of the most beautiful harbors in Maine.
Amazing. Well, Amory, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Came to me just like a storm through the trees, dirt on my feet. One look and I finally saw what it might feel like to be free. All over me like vines are tangled, no hair or makeup. I never had to fix anything at all, but you were an oasis, a vision I can't do without. Now I have you, no one else does it better than you. How do you do it? Even if I live forever, no, I'll never find nobody else, nobody else, yeah. You came to me and changed the air around me, rain through my leaves. One look and I finally saw what I might feel like to be clean all over me. You want someone to save ya, but baby you're a haven. I can lose myself in any time, and when I awaken, it's even better back here on the ground. Even if I live forever, no, I'll never find nobody else.
All right. Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Aaron Bresnitz.
I'm Aaron Bresnitz. You guys, Repo Fish House, this might be like the deepest role of like food entourage we have yet to see. I mean, you guys have like 12 people with you.
Yeah, it's great. Well, we also have, Kong Pham all the way from Phu Quoc, Vietnam. Kong, you are by far the farthest traveled guest we've had on the show. Oh, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you.
We also have Rob Newton. What up?
Hello. Welcome. I didn't travel from Vietnam.
No, but welcome back. Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. And Paul Key, first time guest, long time listener. Probably not long time listener, but long time buddy going back to Austin. And shout out for the mention in the Times. Sunday style section. And shout out to Redwood Fishoss, mentioned in the Wall Street Journal. Rob, you're just killing it.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not making the fish off, though.
So, for those who don't know what Red Boat Fish Sauce is, why don't you tell us what it is, how it got started, and what makes it so amazing?
Oh, wow. So, basically, Red Boat Fish Sauce started 3 years ago. And it's the fish sauce produced from the island of Phu Quoc. It's been known to produce the finest fish sauce in the world, but not a lot of people try it. It's just because there's not enough. Right, so when I moved to the States 34 years ago, I grew up with good fish sauce, and this is the thing that I miss. And I didn't realize the fish sauce here is not the same as the stuff that I grew up with. So that's how we started it. Determined to bring the stuff here, so I think people would appreciate it more, because Phu Quoc fish sauce, they just earned the PDO, which is the Designation of Protection of Origin from the European countries. One of the few products that's been recognized with that name. So I'm glad that we're able to bring it out here for a lot of people to enjoy it.
So when people think of fish sauce, what are they normally thinking of, excluding yours?
Fish sauce from the States, they've had the bad reputation. It's just because it's not the same. It's like what we had back home. For whatever reason, maybe the price, maybe shelf life, for whatever reason, it's not the same. If you look at the label, it's clearly stated that it's blended. It's not in a pure factor like what we produce. So that's the thing. And a lot of people are scared to it. It's not the same. Like what Red Boat is. Red Boat is the way we produce, the old-fashioned way, very traditional, authentic Phu Quoc fish sauce that's been established over 200 years ago.
And what are the ingredients in your fish sauce?
Anchovies and sea salt. That's it.
That's it. When Jamie and I were out this past February, we actually high-fived with Paul and Dina.
Yep.
In the airport.
Yeah.
You took us to the factory, and it's amazing. Like, just the smell and the flavor, it's unlike anything I've ever had before. It's just like pure flavor.
And what type of salt and what type of anchovies do you use? Or is that a secret?
Okay, the anchovies, I'm glad you asked that question. There's about 12 different types of anchovies. Mm-hmm. The anchovies lives in the Phu Quoc waters. They call black anchovies. Produce the best fish sauce for some reason. Okay, that's why it's been recognized. Phu Quoc fish sauce and other fish sauce in the country, even though from anchovies and salt, it won't come out the same. It's just the type of anchovies in there. That's one thing. The other thing would be the process. We salted anchovies right on the boat. They just get off the water to keep the freshness of that. And the third thing would be the weather. The weather of Phu Quoc and the way the things fermented in the wood barrel is different than all the other places around Vietnam. It's produced that kind of sauce that Robert had a chance to enjoy, that you had a chance to enjoy from Sammy's the other one. So those three things, without those three things, the anchovies, the process, and the weather, Phu Quoc fish sauce is not Phu Quoc fish sauce. Without that, that means that you cannot replicate it by taking the raw material and the same process and do it somewhere else. It's going to come out the same. So those three factors actually make it so special.
Now, as chefs, you guys use fish sauce quite a bit in your cooking.
Yeah, pretty much using a I use a lot of fish sauce.
Can you speak to where you use fish sauce in some, you know, non-traditional applications and what it was like when you started using Red Boat?
I basically substitute fish sauce for a lot of my brines, for brisket, barbecue, ribs, chicken, fried chicken, roasted chicken. For me, it's a salt substitute, and I use it like salt.
Awesome. I use it more at Nightingale 9 than Searsucker.
Yeah.
Maybe obvious or not so obvious reasons.
Well, what are those places?
Nightingale 9 is a Vietnamese restaurant in Brooklyn, and Searsucker is my first restaurant. It's very southern because I'm not from Vietnam. I'm from a different south, Arkansas. Yeah. But, I mean, this weekend I was just screwing around with different ideas, and I made a compound butter for a pork special, and I put some fish sauce in there, and it has that kind of umami sort of thing that can bring a nice funk. And people can't really identify what it is, but it's that and some lemon zest together. It's like, shit, that tastes nice. Well, I can't quite figure out why it's so nice, but it is. You know?
I mean, funk is a great word for it. It's really something special. I mean, especially when it comes right out of the stills. It's really crazy.
I think still is an interesting word because some of the stuff I tasted when we were there together wandering around the factory, I tasted some really young stuff. And it, to me, I don't know if you got a tasting of this, but it tasted kind of like whiskey to me. And it had a boozy kind of vibe.
It has those qualities, for sure.
And I was really, I still remember that very clearly. And it's, when you say still, that's,
Well, explain, I mean, it's, when you walk in, explain what the plant looks like, and what the actual process is.
Okay, the process actually started in the sea, way back there. Meaning, as soon as the fish get caught, it's still flopping around on the boat.
We got to experience that. It was a nice, 9-hour boat ride.
Right.
Oh, you got to go on the boat?
Yeah, we were on the fish boat. It was intense. It was intense. But there was no technology involved. It's like catching the fish, putting it on the boat, putting the salt on it.
So then they just rake it up.
Yeah.
And then I have a picture of Edward Lee is doing.
Well, you had to get rid of the shrimp and all the other non-anchovies.
Right.
So you start pulling
sorting
them off.
It out.
You sort it.
So that is the Phú Quốc special. Only Phú Quốc does that, the process, right? Although, because the fishing boat go out there to catch fish to make fish sauce, so they go after the anchovies, basically. Other places, the way they do it is a bycatch, right? Whatever the low quality fish, they cannot make fish. I mean, sell it. Then they make fish sauce, so that's why it's different.
So you're starting with your base ingredient. I mean, you have two ingredients, and so the base of the fish is top notch.
Right.
So you're already above that with all the other types of brands.
Right. I think a lot of the brands that's out there, they don't like put in the craftsmanship, so that because they relied on other stuff to finishing their products. Right. That's mean additive. They put in sugar, sweetener, whatever. To enhance the taste. We cannot rely on that stuff. So everything have to do correctly from the beginning. From the catching the fish, fermenting it, let it sit in there enough time so that it's come out right. And then we test it throughout and making sure that it meet the quality that it's required so that, you know, we don't have to use all that stuff along with that to make a final product.
I think one of the other products that you're now selling, but the actual salt.
The salt.
So the salt and the fish sit together in these stills for about a year.
Right.
And then you drain it off, and then you have this salt that's like crystallized on the side. And that salt, I mean, talk about pure umami. Like, that is just
absolutely, man.
It's amazing.
I remember you had sent me a package.
Right.
And I was on the street with Thomas and Ignacio from Estella. And I was like, I just got this crazy stuff from Phú Quốc. And I was like, I felt like a drug dealer. I was like opening up this like giant Ziploc bag. And
I got
like,
mine in a Ziploc bag too.
Yeah, just like passing it around. Yeah.
Random box with a Ziploc bag.
USPS.
Yeah.
But talk to me. I mean, do you guys want to talk to me about where you use that salt? I mean, that salt, there's literally nothing else I've had that tastes.
No, it's my MSG. I don't use MSG, which is probably making little ladies in Vietnam very upset, but I don't use it. But this is something that gives me that kind of it's almost like I took my palate and put it into a light socket. When you put this salt on your tongue, it's very explosive, you know, and it's round and it's wild and it has really
a
lot of fun.
Yeah, it has a lot of layers of flavor, and you can just season almost anything. It could be turnips, a tomato, whatever, and eat it, and it's all good.
It really, I mean, yeah. What? When did you realize that the salt was a byproduct that people would actually want?
Actually, this is a little secret, but in order for us not to use sweetener, because fish sauce by itself, we don't do it right. It's going to be saltiest, right? So we have to find some way to tone it down, get the salt down. So we go through, I don't know if we want to call it the process, but dehydrate it so that we can pull the salt out of the sauce. So the sauce is not that sweet. I mean, it's not that salty, but it got a little natural sweetness after that. So the salt that came out from that process is the salt that we introduced and we gave to the chef, and that's how. And it turned out to be something that, you know, chef knows best what to do with it, right? But we know it all along. My mom knows it, you know, how we do fish sauce and all that stuff. But again, this is like reality when people try with steaks, chickens, or anything. It bring out the flavor. It wakes up the flavor of the ingredient that you cook it with.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best products. And it's all natural. I mean, it's crazy. It's just, you eat it and you go, oh, this is just amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's cool.
So what's next for Red Boat? What do you have coming up? I know you guys have a dinner tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
Talk to me about this dinner. What are you guys doing?
So we're doing dinner at Tasting Table. Forgot the neighborhood that it's in, but...
Soho,
yeah,
right?
Soho.
Yeah.
It's on Broome, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on Broome. Beautiful location. So what's the dinner going to be? Is it going to be just like a, you know, fish sauce fountain?
Well,
there's definitely... the apple in that? Get a little ice luge with some...
I wouldn't be mad at fish sauce fountain, I guess, but yeah, it's just going to be a mix of using the Red Boat ingredients and some of the stuff I do back home at Key, and I guess he's Side King in Austin.
Wait, how's Key doing?
Key's doing well, man. Thank you.
Gave birth, what, how many months ago?
Seven.
Jeez.
7 months in, so.
And now you got good.
Yeah.
Huh? You got back to your natural weight.
Yeah.
And Nightingale Nine's been open.
February, be a year.
Be a year.
Yeah, so
same time, so you guys sort of gave birth at the same time.
Yeah.
Proud parents.
Yep.
Proud parents.
It's amazing we can sit here and leave the children alone.
I know. But the dinner sounds great. I think it's sold out, though, right?
Yeah.
Bummer. That's how it goes.
We're going to do more of that.
So. We'll do more. Yeah. It's like everything in New York. It's like, oh, my God, I just heard about this. It's sold out. Well, Kong, I want to thank you for coming all the way from Quok. It's been a long time coming. I think last in February, we're like, you got to come on the radio show.
Oh, okay.
And here you are. Did they ever... I think my favorite part was when we were on the boat and you showed us that bridge that they misbuilt.
That right.
When the water gets too high, your boat can't get
That's
under.
Right. That's what I just told Robert, that, yeah, we cannot bring it all the way to bad because, yeah, they screwed up, or deliberately or not, but it just misses by a couple of inches, so we can't.
It's terrible.
Some of the boat. We just keep the things quiet, otherwise it's going to be very crowded.
It's a special, the island's a special place. Those sunsets.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Get your get a massage on the beach, watch the sunset.
Yeah,
get
your
hair twined off.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing. Well, if people wanted to get Red Boat, both the sauce and the salt, where could they go?
Locally, there's a few stores that carries Collusion. Is one of them.
Brooklyn Kitchen. Yeah. By the
I
way.
Agree with that.
Brooklyn Kitchens, and I think we're gonna have see more store. Whole Food. It's everywhere except the Northeast. I haven't looked at
just Whole Foods carries actually, it as well. I feel.
And you can't smuggle it out. I think we had to when you gave us our stuff to take from the island.
Yeah.
I had to like wrap it up and like hide it like in my dirty laundry because if it breaks on the plane,
they kept mine.
Oh, they kept yours.
Yeah, he had to get his.
Yeah,
that's.
Yeah.
I had all these sexy bottles with like anchovies floating in it and shit.
That's
and they're like,
bad.
No, you're not taking it on the plane. Give me
it. It's funny. And for people who want to visit your restaurants, where can they go?
Austin, Texas.
Booyah.
Brooklyn. Carroll Gardens. Nightingale 9.
All right. So shout out to Austin, Brooklyn, and Phu Quoc. Thank you guys so much. Pretty excited for dinner. It's going to be a good time.
All right.
Scratching sweetly, scratch and sway in the middle of the night. So tired, he can feel your weight upon him, crushing gently, sweet late nightly, from his house upon the sea. Make it alright, make it
What's Mood? Mood is a quarterly magazine about music and food. For its creators, not many things can beat a good record and a delicious meal. Maybe a well-written story or a gorgeous photo. Well, that's all in Mood. The magazine looks at music and food in a cohesive and unique way, with a keen eye to design and high-quality writing. Its contributors are located around the globe, and the stories span accordingly. Check it out today at moodmusicfood.com. That's moodmusicfood.com.
What? What do you need?
Nothing.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back.
Today's program was brought to you by Mood.
Oh, nope. Man, we have a
packed show today.
Packed show today. Man, I love that fish sauce.
Oh.
We should see if they have samples for you, because it's the best. Do you like fish sauce? Are you vegetarian?
Love fish sauce.
You've never had it before, have you?
No, but I kind of dipped my pizza in this plate that you guys had by accident.
Yeah. That's not fish sauce, though.
All right.
That's just a cream dressing sauce. So we have Sam Austin and Cassandra all joining us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us on this Sunday.
So happy to be here.
And big shout out to Andrew Oposo for making this all happen.
Andrew has made so many things happen to me.
He's
in
a real mensch. Andrew of Jessica Six, Her Magic Affair. And also, like, why we saw him last night, and the first thing he said to us was, he's like, you know what I'm super excited about? I'm like, what? He's like, Cassandra's going to be on the show tomorrow. And we're like, wow, that's the first. He's just thinking about you.
Such a sweet guy. And bass player extraordinary.
He's one of the best.
And best bass face.
Oh, yeah.
Top five bass face. Just especially when they were doing the, like, fully mixed Hercules Love Fair sets, and he was doing the transitions. And he was conducting with his face. Oh, my God.
Man, that was before my time.
Was it?
Yep.
But you've been in New York, though.
I've been in New York. Andrew and I became very fast friends because of the New York connections. Like, when we found out that we were drinking at the same bars when we were 16.
Which ones?
The Abbey Pub is
a
great place to go before you're 21.
Blue and Gold is good, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cherry Bar on 6th.
Yeah.
I was an uptown lady.
Oh, yeah. Oh. And your family's still up there, right?
They are, yeah. They're still up there.
And they're still playing music.
Yeah, we had a house concert last night.
Yeah, tell me about the house concerts.
We've been doing them for 12 years now, and...
Have you missed any?
I've missed a few.
Just a few, though.
Just a few. I try to be there whenever I can.
Are they an annual thing during the wintertime?
They're actually monthly, believe it or not. And we're having two this month.
You only missed a few and they're monthly?
They're monthly, yeah. Oh
my God. So what are they?
Well, last night we had a harpist, a solo harpist. It was beautiful.
And who's we?
We is my family. I am a member of a family of five, the Jenkins family. And my mom actually has a blog called the Jenkins House Concerts blog. And she posted Snacky Tunes today.
Ooh. Yeah. Thanks, Mom.
Very excited. It went out to the blog community. Oh,
big on the Uptown. Thanks, Dear Mom. Mommy bloggers. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah.
But basically, it's a format of we invite 65 people or so to our house. That's a comfortable number. Sometimes it gets bigger than that. And
where do you live?
I live on the Upper West Side. Believe it or not, you wouldn't think that this apartment would fit 65 people, but we make it happen every month. And we invite a guest artist, usually a band, to come play two sets of music. There's always an intermission in between when people get wine and food. And usually my family will open in some way, shape, or form. And so last night my sister and I sang a Carter Family song, and my brother played a song that he wrote. Yep.
Naturally.
And next, in a couple weeks, we have Tony Trischka, the great banjo player, coming to play. It's a holiday-themed show.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Partridge Family or Brady Bunch?
We've gotten actually more, what's it called? The Wes Anderson film.
Royal Tannenbaums?
We got that more than we did Partridge Family.
That seems like a modern thing. And what is, does your entire family play?
We all play. My dad is a piano player. Growing up, he made a living playing in all the hotels around New York. So the St. Regis, the Plaza.
Carlisle?
The Carlisle. He just played a gig at the Carlisle. He was very excited about it. He likes it.
He's one of those like hotel piano players of like yesteryear.
He's kind of a dying breed.
Oh my God. What's his tip cup look like?
It depends on who's coming in that night. I actually don't know. I haven't seen it in a while.
I imagine goblet, but I don't think that's
or vase. Yeah.
I think it depends on the place.
I think one of my fantasies as a child was being that type of piano player, but then I, gave up.
It's obviously. Crazy. He knows so many songs.
Does he have a bow tie that he's never actually tied, just that's draped around his neck?
You know, he used to wear a tuxedo to work.
Oh, my God.
And that became kind of uncool at a certain point.
Can you let me know when he's playing next and I can just go and, like, sit
Actually, there? We should just actually have him come in.
I would love
that. Is there
Do
like
you
a
guys have a grand piano?
We don't, but would he be willing to like figure something out?
Absolutely. He's got a travel case.
Can he just like if Austin. He could just play if he could just riff in the background for an hour?
Oh, that would be the best.
Yeah. He riffs, right?
He riffs. My dad riffs. Come
just
on.
One more story about your dad. Just one more question. I mean, I have actually a lot of questions.
I hope he's listening right now.
Does he have any of those like I was with, Belinda Carlisle, like
really?
Wrong the one. Rainbow Room and
No, I have the room. Like the rap pack.
Oh yeah,
like, and Bobby the, and And Frank.
Oh, Bernadette, I have
sorry.
Stories. I don't know. I don't know
Bernadette
how much time
Peters.
We have.
We have time. We have time for this.
LaPone.
When I was a kid, I remember going to Little Italy, and my mom just knowing everybody down there, just be like, "Hey, Patsy," and later on, I found out that they used to play at SPQR, which is now closed. May it rest in peace.
Pour out a glass of vino for it.
They were the house band, and they would play. Occasionally, they would play, I'm air quoting, private parties.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really like a mafia hangout.
Wow.
And they were there.
Gentlemen's Club, speakeasy.
Yeah, they would play so that it had the vibe of a party.
And what was touring with your family like growing up?
Touring was really fun. We actually spent a lot of time in Maine, so I was excited Ooh. To hear some Maine stories today.
Did you eat lobster up there?
We ate tons of lobster.
I wonder if they ever went to your grandparents' restaurant. Maybe.
That would be some serious.
That would blow my mind. I would have to lay down if you and your parents went to...
Well, we'll have to go there at some point on our way up this summer. We go to Swan's Island every summer. And there's a tiny festival about halfway up the coast. And we would travel in a 1956 GMC bus to get there. With lots of instruments in tow. And at that point, it felt more like Beverly Hillbillies than it did okay. Royal Tannenbaums. Okay.
Well, that movie hadn't come out yet, so it's an unfair comparison. Yeah.
But yeah, that we spent a lot of time traveling that way, and it's currently in upstate New York. The motor needs some work, but Dad's working on it.
It's working.
Well, why don't we? Why don't we get a song?
Oh okay. My God! Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we were thinking about playing one that we just wrote actually this month, after listening to Snacky Tunes, shortly after Lou Reed passed away on Daylight Savings Day.
I believe in the perfect day and the stardust of a melody. This day is a perfect day. Leaves fall in time with the song. Listen now. Me hanging on. Set the clock back, save the day.
That is really the best drum setup that we have seen here. Someone who really understood the room that we were playing in.
This is Austin Vaughn on the drums, by the way.
What up, Austin? Say what's up.
Hello,
Let's and Cassandra's mom. And Cassandra's mom's blog follower.
Yeah, and my dad.
And your dad. Let's. How did the three of you meet?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I. Yeah, let's get Austin in on this.
How about this?
This goes deep.
Let's let Austin speak for a second.
Sam and I met probably before we were in high school, right? Because we're both from North Carolina.
Yeah, 15.
And Sam, well, too bad you didn't bring your clarinet, but when I met Sam, he was playing saxophone.
Oh, I was... You promised clarinet, no clarinet.
Yeah. I forgot it.
No, man. All
it's
right.
A spacey Sunday.
We but still have that Sundays. It's Sunday. Tough on Sundays.
Yeah, it's tough.
But yeah, so we met each other when we were like young teenagers and then realized that we were both going to end up going to this school in North Carolina called North Carolina School of the Arts. Yeah. And we were in high school there like with college kids and we had the time of our lives. And then...
And we were roommates.
That's true. We were each other's first roommates, and now we live together now.
Yeah.
But so then when Sam moved to New York way before I did, and he was like, you definitely should move here. I was like, I don't want to do that. And then I did. And then I met Cassandra through a guy named Jonathan Rosen, who is brothers with a guy named Michael Rosen, who's in a band called Icewater. And I introduced Sam to Cassandra, or vice versa.
That's true.
Yeah.
At the Manhattan Inn.
It was at the Manhattan Inn.
Who also has a piano player from time to time.
They do, like very much like my dad.
Yeah, has your dad ever been there?
No, I really want to get him a gig there. Yeah. But yeah.
It would make the story, it would like add another layer to the story you just told.
Let's add that layer.
Yeah, let's add that layer. Dad, if you're listening, let's add the layer.
Yeah, there's some really good music happening at the Manhattan Inn these days.
And shout out to Brooke, who is one of the founders, like old friend of ours who started Glassland Gallery.
Cool.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
And she just had a kid.
She did have a kid. That baby is cute up on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Up. What?
I was giving Austin a little thumbs up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You
know,
that was a good...
I used to have a radio show. I had multiple radio shows in college.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't have...
He's a radio man.
The mic scaring
me. So now when the three of you met, how did it kind of transform to, you know, what we're looking at here?
That's a good question.
Yeah, when did three become one?
Can I collaboration?
Yeah.
Austin introduced us at the Manhattan Inn. It was a Greg Saunier solo drums night, and we were all there hanging out, appreciating the music. And
what is solo drums?
Austin, you want to show us what solo drums is?
It's when you play alone.
When you play alone.
Nobody so like literally.
It's really exciting.
Yeah. The drummer in my band, his name is Max El Mario, and he works with... at the Manhattan Inn. He's a bartender, and he curates, because he's a drummer, he curates this night. I think it's usually on Sundays, and it's all like solo drummers, and they come in and it's
wait, is it solo drummers together?
No, by themselves.
A series. Okay. It's a series. Yeah. But shortly thereafter, I went to go see Celestial Shore, Sam's band, at Glasslands, and we were all hanging out outside, and Austin looked at the two of us and he said, you should collaborate. I think that'd be good. And Sam's response was, oh, there will be collaboration. With full confidence. And here we are today.
Wow. That's a bold Sunday.
It was bold. I loved that.
It's a good line.
That was before we were dating.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh,
you guys are dating?
Yeah, let's add that layer.
Yeah.
Oh.
you need lines like that.
So there's a lot of collaboration going on.
Yeah, Sam and I have been dating ever since, actually. And
was it that line?
Yep.
That line kind of did it for me. Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Like firework.
And not to mention that I was also going to see Sam play guitar, and that did it for me, too.
Note to listeners, dudes in bands get girls. You heard it here first on Snacky Dudes. Either pick up a guitar.
Go get that guitar right now.
Yeah, pick up a chef's knife. Yep. Get some girls.
He's a good cook, too.
What do you guys cook together?
Well, Austin and Sam have a really great dish that they made for me early on.
I can't take any credit.
Okay, well.
No, that's overused. Let's talk about another dish.
No, what's this dish?
Yeah. Well, actually, see, I hesitate because we used it. My band did an interview with Brooklyn Magazine, and they do this thing where you're given a budget of $20 and you have to cook, and they take pictures and interview you while you're doing it.
Well, look, here's the deal. No one's listening to this show, so you can talk about it.
Well,
everyone's
anyway,
listening
if you are
show.
Listening, it's a cool thing.
What's
in
the
Brooklyn Magazine. It's nachos, but it's kale quinoa nachos.
And chicken.
And chicken. Well, you can optional chicken thing.
For the veg?
Yeah, so you just like have a layer of, you make your own corn tortilla nachos, and then you put quinoa with red, or red quinoa with black beans, garlic, and then you kind of throw that on top of the nachos, and then put kale, and then put it in the oven, and the kale gets crispy, and the nachos are crispy, and it's like this kale sandwich thing. And then you put sriracha on it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Get sriracha while you can.
It's good.
You guys all know about that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
But it's crazy. Is it closed down, or is it just closed down temporarily?
I think it's temporary.
I think it's temporary.
They're still selling it super hard at the fair.
There's too much money to be made in sriracha for it to close down fully. I got so much money in sriracha stock right now that I'm nervous.
Yeah.
But, why don't we hear another song?
Okay.
Okay. What are you guys going to play?
What do you want to do?
Well, I was going to say, if we were going to talk about one of my favorite recipes, we call it rabbit food, and it's some kind of like muesli creation.
It's the best.
It's really delicious and healthy. But we're going to play a song called Rabbit.
Oh.
That we wrote this summer. It was my first collaboration with Sam. And Austin plays drum on our recording of it.
Okay.
Ready?
Are you there, Austin?
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
It's also an adaptation of a Wallace Stevens poem.
I don't have really words for that. That was amazing.
Thank
amazing.
You.
Thank you so much.
You have so many different types of drumsticks and accoutrement. Like, it's amazing.
You have to see him play solo.
I was going to say, and you hold your drumstick in a way that makes me think that I would love to see you really go to town on a drum set.
You should come see me play sometime.
I will absolutely come see you play.
You want to hear me pimp all the times I'm playing this week?
Yeah.
What's today?
Well, can we talk about Tuesday night's show?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Talk
about
it. Because
Sam is on that one, too.
Yeah.
So, well, maybe Sam. I don't really know what's up with that, but I'm super excited to be doing it. So go ahead, Sam.
Okay, my friend, our friend Luke Temple of Luke Temple and Here We Go Magic, he's been booking a series at Union Pool that's kind of based around improvising, creating music spontaneously.
Spontaneous composition.
Yes, that would be the
instantaneous way. Composition.
Sure, so Luke booked Austin. Austin's going to be playing with a legend, Daniel Carter, a legend of the New York improvisational scene, going back to the 50s, 60s. I mean,
he
no.
was like born in 45 or something.
All right,
like
so
he was in New York.
Got started at six.
He came in the 70s.
He got his hand on those pots and pans. Yeah. He really just.
You know, he actually was living in North Carolina as a child.
Well,
and Ohio.
That makes sense.
You guys can talk about your favorite restaurants.
At any rate,
Austin's
playing a duo
with
Daniel Carter,
and I'm playing. I'll be actually playing clarinet on this show with Jason.
As long as you remember it, right?
Yes. Remember it. With Jason Nazary, who's another great drummer of this band, Little Women, and some other great friends.
Are there any women in Little Women?
No.
Of course not.
No,
course
but
not.
Have you seen this band?
No.
Are they all really big dudes?
They're all pretty big.
They're not
big.
They're not big.
Well, they're from Brooklyn?
I mean, they're not like your average skinny, tall guy in a band. Little Women is the best band in Brooklyn.
Whoa.
I second that opinion.
Oh, but I guess Darius lives in Queens. They're the best band in New York.
Ooh.
Drop the mic.
Yeah. That's a big...
These are expensive mics to drop.
You heard it here on Snacky Tea.
Yeah.
All five of you.
And for the three of you, when are you playing next?
I think our next show is probably going to be at the Jenkins House concert.
Oh, really?
I'm going to see if Austin's available. I haven't asked him
yet.
We were
supposed to play tomorrow night, but it got canceled.
It got canceled. Friends and Lovers is a new venue, but they're getting their permit straightened out.
Where is that?
It's in Crown Heights, actually. So hopefully they'll be up and running soon. But on the 21st, we might be doing a house show and then probably into the new year.
And what's next for you guys after shows?
After shows, well, we just... recorded the song that we played first, and I would like to. I'm working on writing songs for a full length album. I'm hoping to record and have done by the spring and summer.
Ooh. And is it just you writing, or is there outside influence?
I write a lot of my own songs. Sam and I have been writing together a lot, and I love also taking on the songs of other friends. A couple songs on my EP were written by friends of mine, and I love reinterpreting other people's music, so we'll see what happens when I put it all down on tape.
And final question before we hear one more song. How do people get invited to your house jams?
You can check out my mom's blog. My mom had a blog long before I ever did.
First wave.
Did your mom teach you how to blog?
she kind of did, actually.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Mom, I can't post this photo.
Just rolls her eyes.
Ugh, come here.
She's so high tech. She's got her iPad.
Same with our mom. She always says she doesn't want to ever be feel left behind.
Cool. Oh, I hope she's listening today, right?
Yeah. Did you call her today?
Hi, Mom.
I did.
So did I. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad.
So why don't you give people the nuts and bolts where they can find you, follow you, get the EP?
Well, you can check out my Bandcamp has two of the songs that we're playing today, and that's just Cassandra Jenkins Bandcamp and Facebook and CassandraJenkins.com. I've got... My last record came out on vinyl. I printed it in Brooklyn. I pressed it in Brooklyn. And
Who'd you press it with?
With a company that is unfortunately no longer. Oh, it's called EKS.
And it's fortunate that they're no longer.
they really? Owe us some money. but I've got 100 vinyls left.
Ooh.
So
how many did you have?
Hotcakes. Only 300.
Okay. That's still pretty good. Hey, Brandon sang 101. You know?
Yeah, so... you can find those online, and you can get in touch with me on Facebook.
Well, great. Well, everyone, thanks for listening to Snacky Tunes.
I think we have one more show this year.
One more show. Who's the food guest next week?
I have to.
We have Rad Dads as a band next week. So listen up.
Yeah. And if you're around, come out to the Refinery 29 pop-up store, 201 Mulberry Street. Yeah, self-promo, baby.
Weird.
It's not weird.
A little weird. All right, well, I also want to thank Anne-Marie, Saltwater Farm.
And Paul and Kong and Rob. Oh, and shout out to Glassery, who makes the best rabbit dish in all of New York.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's...
Well, I mean, we were doubters.
We were doubters. And I told Sarah last night, I said, listen, this is like the fourth time I've been here. I've never ordered the rabbit dish. If you like rabbit, go... They say it's for two. That's ridiculous. Like, maybe it's two of the little women, but like, it's like a four-person dish. It's amazing. Have you had it?
I have.
It's amazing. The charred pieces taste like octopus. It's crazy. It's amazing. So hop on over there.
All right, and be back with one more episode. And thanks for listening. And what's the last song you're going to take us out with?
Well, I like how much we're talking about animals on this show today. We had lobster talk. We had fish talk. We had rabbit talk. And this is a song called The Bird.
Okay. Live on Snacky Tunes.
Now I know what you are, and it does me no good, no good. Now I know, now I know. Uh-huh.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.